Okay, and if you'll take your Bibles once again and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You're looking at the first 16 verses there. There's a saying that knowledge is power. And this is especially true when it comes to God, because the one who is all-knowing is also all-powerful. And in these passages today, Paul deals with the power of God. So let's take a look at what he writes to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, 'Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Who is the most powerful person in the world? Some may say, well, it must be Donald Trump, you know, leader of the free world. Or I guess if you're over in the other side of the world there, you might say Vladimir Putin or some other leader there. But they're all wrong. Jesus said that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Therefore, the most powerful person in the world is not some world leader. It is the one who has been being led by the Spirit of Christ. The key verses in this passage are 3 to 5. And I also find a lot of comfort in these passages, in these verses here. When he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says that he came in weakness and in fear and in trembling, so that he might demonstrate not his own wisdom, not his own power, but the power of God. So that our faith then is rooted in that power and not in the wisdom of man. Paul had been contrasting the wisdom of the world with the true wisdom that comes from God. The wisdom of the world has been distorted by sin and is based upon limited knowledge. However, the wisdom of God is altogether pure and based upon eternal knowledge. The wisdom of the world inhabits the physical, whereas the wisdom of God inhabits the spiritual. Therefore, it is folly to think that we can somehow comprehend the spiritual by using worldly wisdom. However, this is not to say that we should totally reject all human reason. We're not to be unreasonable. Human wisdom and reason have accomplished some amazing things, especially in the last few decades. However, human wisdom is useless in trying to discern spiritual matters. Therefore, we should never think that the philosophies of man can discern the mysteries of God. God told the prophet Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts." Human reason has no conception of eternity. Therefore, it bases everything upon the temporal. We know that the human mind is complex, mysterious, and a powerful thing. And we also know that it is our mind that directs how we live. There's no doubt that how we think significantly impacts our lives. And our mind is also where the arena where God is revealed to us. And although God was revealed in a human body, most of the people missed the point. They were so caught up in their own preconceived ideas, they could not comprehend who Jesus was. Otherwise, Paul says, that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But now, with the death and resurrection of Christ, the Spirit has been given to us. And he reveals more fully than ever before not only who God is, but also what he has freely given to us. He gives us wisdom beyond knowledge. For because man's wisdom cannot reach up to God, God's wisdom reached down to man. What was once hidden by the transcendence of God has been made clear through his self-revelation, which was accomplished in the cross of Christ, so that we might be and might receive the power to conform to his will. And this is the reason why Paul tells the Corinthians, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Although Paul knew that he may be able to impress people by his own knowledge and lofty words, he also knew his message would be powerless. For the power of God is only released through the grace that's given in the cross of Christ. And so we find that grace gives the power of spiritual understanding. Grace gives us the power of understanding, of spiritual understanding. The Spirit that we receive, the Holy Spirit, is God's own Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I have trouble wrapping my mind around this completely. It's God's Spirit who the the same spirit that was hovering over creation, or the non-creation, you know, before everything else existed. It was hovering over. Now it dwells within the hearts of man. And Paul points out there, it is his spirit that probes the very depths of God. Now, talk about a blind, mind-blowing thought. You know, here, his spirit that indwells us also probes the very depths of God. Now, this does not mean that we will be all-knowing, such as God is all-knowing. But it does mean that we will know all that God wants us to know, all that God desires us to know. We will know, because the Bible tells us that this spirit that probes the depths of God also communes with our spirit. It communicates with our spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows what's in God, just as our spirit knows what's within us. And you guys probably don't have this problem, but I tend to argue with God. You know, God, the Holy Spirit is communing with my spirit, and he's giving me a direction to go. And wait a minute, God. You know, that's probably not the best idea. And of course, it is the best idea. I keep forgetting that God sees things that I'm not able to see. And God knows far more than I'm able to know. And so through the indwelling spirit, the mystery of God is made clear. It's made clear. And it is being made clear. See, it's a process that begins when we confess our sins. And we talked about repentance and turn to God and know his salvation, and his spirit dwells within us. We immediately obtain a clearer understanding of God, of who God is, what he has done for us. We are able to understand God's plan of salvation. Now, we might not understand all the little intricacies of it. You know, we talked about a little bit, well, you know, is it necessary to repent to be saved? And, you know, is that then a form of works? And so are we actually saved by works? And we might not be able to comprehend all these things. But we are able to understand that God loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. And that Jesus Christ does have the power and the authority to forgive our sins. And as we walk and live under that power and authority of being forgiven, of being made righteousness, not of a righteousness that comes from our own works, but a righteousness that comes from Christ, then the Holy Spirit begins to reveal the truths about God. And so we gain a greater knowledge and understanding of God as we walk with him. You know, you might, in your dealings, everyday dealings, meet a new person. You know, come across and get introduced to them. Okay, you have an initial knowledge of that person. But if that's the only time you ever see them, you're not going to know that person very well. You're not. You might remember his name. Well, if you're like me, it might be, you know, a half hour or so. And somebody might mention him later on. Oh yeah, I remember. I met him once. But if that person becomes a part of your life, that person becomes a close friend to you, and you develop that, you start developing a relationship with him as you spend more time with him. That's what God desires of us. He wants us to develop a relationship with him so that we get to know him better and better. And it's important that we know God. That we know God, because the people we come in contact with in this world have many misconceptions of God, of who God is, of what God does. You know, some people only see God as a God of love, and that he loves us, and because he loves us, it really doesn't matter what we do, because, you know, he will forgive us because he loves us, and he just wants to give us all these good things all the time. Whereas other people might only see his holiness, only see his righteousness, and they see God so far lifted above everybody else that we cannot obtain that righteousness. And God is an angry God who just wants for us to pay for the penalty for our sins. And, you know, if we do something wrong, we better watch out, because he'll throw a lightning bolt at us. And, you know, we don't want to stand next to somebody that's doing something wrong, because God might miss. But by his Spirit, we are able to understand God's love for us as well as his holiness. We understand that his righteousness is rooted in love, and that he does not want to condemn us, but he wants to save us. But because he is righteous, if we neglect that salvation, if we reject that salvation, then we will have to face his judgment. And through the Holy Spirit, we're able to understand that God is not afar off, but he is a God who dwells with his people and within his people. And the Holy Spirit enables us to understand and apply the gospel message. He helps us to understand the gospel message, but also to apply it. Because that's where wisdom is. It's not just reading God's word, not just understanding it, but it's applying it to our lives. We understand that it is man who separated himself from God, and not God who separated himself from man. Yet it is God that makes the first moves. It's God that takes the initiative to get back with man. The Holy Spirit then convicts us of sin and draws us to Christ. I used to not enjoy going to church. There was a time in my life where, you know, I grew up, even though my parents were not Christians and things, but we lived just down the block from a little church there that I attended, a little country church. And so from the time before I can even remember, me and my sisters would walk down to the church there, and so I was raised with the knowledge of the truth. But in my teen years, I didn't always apply that truth that I knew. But I knew I should go to church, and so I'd go, and they'd be talking about, you know, all these things, and the Holy Spirit would convict me. And that's not a real pleasant feeling. You guys probably never experienced that, so you don't know that conviction of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, things have changed. God changed me when I submitted to him And I still, very often, more times than I like, feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, but now I like it. Not because it feels good, it still feels terrible. But I know that he's still working in my heart, he's still directing me, he's still giving me the guidance. I know I've used the illustration of a GPS before. The Holy Spirit's like our spiritual GPS. You know, if you're going along and you miss a turn, you know, the GPS will tell you, you know, you need to turn around as soon as possible. I heard that you can purchase, you know, these different voices that you want, and one of them that you can purchase is Mr. T. There, and that if you don't go where he tells you you're supposed to go, he says, "You fool! Yeah. Turn around." And, you know, I think that's kind of how the Holy Spirit kind of works in our hearts, too. You know, sometimes when we're going along and we miss that corner, and the Holy Spirit says, "You fool, turn around." The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins so we might be drawn to Christ, so that we might be drawn to him. And so, by the grace of God, we're given the power of spiritual understanding. Grace also gives us the power of discernment. Gives us the power of discernment. To be able to discern. See, Paul uses a contrast between the natural man and spiritual man here. He lays it out. He says, the natural man does this, but the spiritual man does that. The natural man lives as though there's nothing beyond the human life, this human life. You know, for the natural man, this life is all that there is. And so you might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die. The spiritual man lives with eternity in mind. He knows that the spirit does not die with the flesh. That there is an eternal element of God. Of man in the spirit. And so it is that spirit that communes with the Holy Spirit to help us to discern. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to discern between what's right and what's wrong. Now there is a morality within people. And the natural man looks to his circumstances to determine the morality. You know what's the situation will determine what's the right path to take in that situation. And so there is no absolute morality. It all depends on the circumstances that you find yourselves in. But the spiritual man seeks God's morality. He seeks God's morality, which is absolute purity, which is absolute holiness, which has a standard that in and of ourselves is impossible to obtain. And so when we go against that morality, that standard that God has for us, the Holy Spirit tells us when we're wrong. He brings that conviction upon our hearts. And so we have the knowledge, the discernment of what's right and wrong. But the Holy Spirit enables us also to discern what is true and what is false. What is true and what is false. You know, from the very time that the New Testament church was established, there was false teachers that began to spring up and to come about. And we still find it today. There are still false teachers out there. And so many times what they say sounds good, sounds right. because they don't always tell everything not everything that they tell us is false. There are some things in there that are true as well. And so it's sometimes hard to discern what's true and what's false. Satan is the great deceiver. Jesus said that he is a liar and the father of all lies. And he wants to strive. His whole ambition in this world is to deceive God's people. Started with Adam and Eve in the garden and continues to this very day. And he'll use those who claim to be followers of God and yet point people towards destruction. And so we need to know what is truth. What is truth? Age-old philosophical question. But Jesus answered it for us. He says, I am the truth. I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is revealed in his word. His word is truth. And the more we know the truth, the more evident the lie. And so it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to know and understand the truths found in God's word, understand the truth that's found in Jesus Christ, so that we will know what is false, what the lie is, and we can embrace the truth and reject the lie. The Holy Spirit also enables us to discern between what is good and what is best. What is good and what is best? Christians often settle for good when God wants what is best. Sometimes it's so easy for us to just go out and say, well, you know, this is good enough for me. I'm satisfied right here. When God has a far greater plan for us. A higher plane, a higher place for us to be. And sometimes, from the human standpoint, what is best doesn't seem to be good at all. Because we are not able to see beyond the next hill. We cannot see what's over the next rise. All we can see is what's right in front of us. But God sees all things from eternity to eternity. And God desires what's best for us. And the Holy Spirit enables us to make that discernment, to let go of what we deem as good, so that we might know His best for us. And so, by the grace of God, we are given the power of spiritual discernment. And then grace gives us the power of spiritual instruction. Jesus told his disciples that the Holy Spirit would teach them all things. I love reading the last few chapters of John there, where he's trying to get his disciples to understand what's about to take place. You know, he knew that he wasn't going to be up on this earth much longer. And his disciples still, there was a lot of things that they was beginning to understand, but they still didn't have that full grasp of what was going to happen. And he knew that when he was arrested and crucified, that it was just going to blow them away. And so he keeps given them these teachings, and they're trying, they're really trying to get a hold of it, you know. And they, you know, he says, well, where I'm going, you know, you're not going to be able to go right now, but later on, you know, you'll be able to go. And they say, well, why is it, Lord, that we can't go with you now? You know, we love you. We want to follow you wherever you go. Why can't we? And he says, right now you're not able to. You know, you're not in that position. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. He will give you that understanding. And you compare the mindset that they had there at the end of John, and then with what they started to proclaim in Acts. It's amazing the difference, the comprehension that they were able to receive. And the same is true for us. You know, we may be raised in a home where there's Bibles around, and we might go to church regularly and know the scripture and things, but there's just not the real deep comprehension of the scripture until we accept Christ in our hearts and the Holy Spirit comes in. And then all of a sudden we begin to read the Bible, and these stories that we're so familiar with, and Jim talked about that a little bit in Sunday school there, you know, stories that we've read over and over again, all of a sudden they come on a new light. There's a new meaning for us, a new understanding. The word spirit is the same Greek word that's used for wind and for breath. And it makes me go clear back to Genesis there when it talks about God forming man from the dirt, you know, there, and he shaped man, it says, and then he breathed life into him, and the man became a living being. He breathed. That's his spirit that was poured out in Adam there. And when we accept Christ in our hearts, and it's like God breathes in us again his Holy Spirit, his life, and we become a living being. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit breathes life into the scripture. It becomes the living word. Anybody can read the Bible, and they might gain some things from it, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives it life, that makes it relevant to us here and now, in each of our situation that we find ourselves in. And therefore, the Holy Spirit gives us a whole new outlook on life. We no longer see things as the world sees them. See, the world tells us that we are to put ourselves, we need to put ourselves first. You know, look out for number one. But Christ tells us that we must put ourselves last. That we're not to think of ourselves as being more important than anybody else. But we're to love one another as he loved us and gave himself for us. The world tells us that we are to do things our way, my way. No. They look up to that. You know, he was a self-made man. Christ tells us that we are to do things his way, do things God's way. We are not to be self-made men and women. We are to be God-made men and women. And the Holy Spirit makes us into the way God would want us to live. And so we must break out of the pattern of worldly thinking and and set our minds upon the things of God. And so the things of the world, you know, we still care about them, but they're not of utmost importance to us. Instead, we are to look at things through Christ's eternal perspective. Now, Paul talks about the sufferings that he went through. He says, you know, I'm sure that they were not pleasant for him to go through all these things, you know. It's not very pleasant to get stoned and dragged out of the city and left along the side of the road for dead. You know, it's not pleasant to be shipwrecked. And then when you think you're all saved and everything, have a poisonous snake come out of the fire and bite you on the hand. You know, it's not pleasant to pour out your love for people and have them totally reject it. But he says, all these things that I went through. He says, you know, it was like being poured out as a drink offering for you. It's completely poured out. He says, I count all of these things as nothing compared to the glories that I will receive through Christ Jesus. And as he quotes here, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has for those who love him. When we are taught by the Spirit, our convictions cannot be swayed by the authority of men. For we know that Christ is the ultimate authority. He is the ultimate authority. And just because man has determined that something is right does not make it right. If it contradicts Christ, if it contradicts the Word of God, it is wrong. Because man cannot change morality. And we have the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And so by the grace of God, we are given the power of spiritual instruction. There are many people who have a lot of knowledge and consider themselves wise and powerful. However, because their wisdom is based upon the ever-changing temporal things of the world, they are actually foolish and weak. The Apostle Paul also had great learning. Being reared as a Pharisee under one of the most respected teachers of the day. But Paul determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this was not just head knowledge. It was experiential knowledge. He experienced Christ, and it changed his life. And that through that experience, he was given the mind of Christ and the power that comes from such knowledge. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we may know you through your Holy Spirit, that you're not a God who is afar off and does not care about the ways of man. But you are a God who loves us enough to send your Son to pay the penalty for our sins. That you are a God who desires that no one should perish, but all should come to eternal life. You are a God who has given us your Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to dwell within us, to reveal yourself to us. Lord, help us to embrace all that you have for us, so that we can truly be all that you desire us to be, so that we can bring glory and honor to you because of what your amazing grace has done for us. We give you praise. In Christ's name, amen.